Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, July 28th, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, during an emergency, illegal immigrants will be evacuated before South Texas residents. Then report, homeless in Los Angeles are to be forced into camps. And is paraphrasing the Constitution a threat? That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
They say pay carbon taxes, give up my rights, families are bad, heterosexualism is bad. That's how I prove I'm not racist. And I grow a big beard and mustache.
Well, hurricane season is just around the corner. And in case of hurricane, we need to save the illegals. This is an article from Adan Salazar. In event of emergency, illegals will be evacuated before citizens. Now, this is in case of a hurricane or other life-threatening catastrophic weather event occur in South Texas. Illegal aliens that are occupying various shelters will be the first to get in line to safer ground, says a National Weather Service coordinator, Barry Goldsmith. He's worried that if a hurricane or other emergency hits, that the evacuation of 4,000 illegal aliens could be impeded by citizens who are trying to reach safety. So he says one way to ensure the illegals remain safe is to evacuate them before the general population receives its evacuation orders. He says the entire Valley detention area will be evacuated first. In other words, before the public gets their mandatory evacuation. Well, what about the legal women and children? Well, of course, we are treated differently if we're citizens of the United States. Remember just a couple of weeks ago, back on July 14th, 2014, we had this article on InfoWars, TSA lets illegals fly without an ID, yet harasses a mom over breast milk. Yes, all they needed was their notice to appear, their permiso, their essentially their de facto citizenship papers. Now, of course, the government pushed back against that. Homeland Security spokesman said that wasn't what was happening. And yet, that is a different story that we hear from the Border Patrol agency. Now we see the lady who famously said last year that we had to get over the idea that our children belong to us. No, actually, they belong to the community. In other words, to the state. The same lady who mocked Romney and the Romney family for adopting a black child is now saying that if we're against illegal immigration, we're racist. In an article today on InfoWars.com from Paul Joseph Washington, she says, during a segment on her Saturday show, she likened Texas Governor Rick Perry's decision to send National Guard troops to the border to Arkansas Governor Orville Faubus's move to use the Guard troops to prevent black children from attending Little Rock Central High, which was racially segregated back in 1957. Now, it's not just Melissa Harris Perry at MSNBC, of course. It's also conservative commentators like George Will who are pushing the narrative that it's not only racist, but it's somehow affecting little tiny children. Look at this article from 1993. Now, at the time, the NAFTA debate was in full force. And George Will came out at the time and said that we needed to address both the problems of NAFTA and illegal immigration. They could both be solved. Now, what would you do to solve illegal immigration? Well, according to him, you're going to pass NAFTA. That's going to mean that the people have enough prosperity at home that they're not leaving and coming into the country. And he targeted people like Pat Buchanan, Republicans. He said they're a small but gingery group that oppose both immigration and NAFTA. An incoherence matched within the Democratic Party. In other words, if you oppose both NAFTA and open immigration, that's incoherent. You can't oppose both of those. He also quotes Clinton at the time. He says, Clinton said, protection is just a fancy word for giving up a nation's characteristic stance of confidence about competition and a fast unfolding future. Well, now that we look back, 20 years after they were successful in passing NAFTA, how has competition played out for us? Do we still have illegal immigration? Has that solved the situation economically for those people and even Mexico? Now, of course, George Will is saying we need to extend NAFTA into Central and South America so these people don't have an economic incentive to come in. It hasn't solved anything. What free trade, unrestricted free trade did was export our jobs. Now, if we have unrestricted free immigration, it is going to take the country down even faster. And of course, this is what David Petraeus said when he said, what comes after America? Well, that's easy. NAFTA. He said, we're 20 years into NAFTA, and now it's becoming a fact. We no longer have a border. That's what Pelosi said. Let's listen to that clip now as to what George Will is saying today.
My view is that we ought to say to these children, welcome to America. You're going to go to school and get a job and become Americans. We have 3,141 counties in this country. That'd be 20 per county. And the idea that we can't assimilate these 8-year-old criminals with their teddy bears is preposterous. We've handled what Emma Lazarus famously called the wretched refuse of your teeming shores a long time ago and a lot more people than this.
There's a lot of lies in that. Listen to the first one, the idea that we can't handle these 8-year-old criminals with their teddy bears. Of course, he's channeling Glenn Beck, who famously went to the border and gave the narrative that the Obama administration is trying to feed everybody, really gave that credibility by handing out teddy bears. Now, of course, they're trying to sell us the idea that these are 8-year-olds coming across 1,500 miles of dangerous territory with their teddy bears, coming here unaccompanied. Are they really unaccompanied? Or are they being accompanied by gangs? Or are they being turned into gangs once they get here? Are they being recruited into gangs? Look at this story from Mail Online today. Violent transnational gangs are recruiting unaccompanied minors at the border security facilities. Now, of course, Obama and the Democrats are trying to recruit them as Democrats. Of course, they'll raise them in the communities, just like Melissa Harris-Perry said, we need to get over the idea they belong to parents. That's their dream come true that they have unaccompanied minors. They would like for them to all be unaccompanied minors. But as they estimate in this story here, 57,000 have come from Central and South America. Yet we see that many people coming each month. And it's not just minors. So that's about 1/12 of the number of people that are coming in each month, according to their official numbers, if we can believe that. So that's about 8%. Now, of course, those minors that are coming in are not just 8-year-old children. Most of them are teens. Just because they're under 18 doesn't make them children. And many of them are already gang members. The ones who aren't are being recruited. Take a look at this picture of this young boy who maybe is about 8 or 9 years old giving the MS-13 gang member shot. Now, we were told from border control agents, told Fox News that this was what was happening. But, of course, yet again, we see the Department of Homeland Security and the official border control bureaucracy saying they have no information that this is happening. They have no verification of this because they're not looking for it. Still, the border patrol agents who are working in these areas are the ones who are contacting the media and telling us what is really going on. Now, the LA Times reports that the White House is pursuing plans to expand what they call immigrant rights. Yes, it's not the 57,000 that George Will is talking about, which would be 20 per county across the United States. No, they're looking at giving citizenship rights to 5 to 11 million people who are here. Even as President Obama grapples with the crisis of immigrant children, see, they're still selling it as being nothing but children. As he grapples with the humanitarian crisis of immigrant children arriving at the border, White House officials are laying the groundwork for a large-scale expansion of immigrant rights that would come by executive action within the next few weeks. Officials strongly signaled on Friday that Obama's move would shield from deportation large number of immigrants living in the country illegally, as advocacy groups have demanded. See, they're making demands. It's not like what George Will said. He said, quoted the Statue of Liberty poem, you know, give me your huddled masses yearning to be free. They're not yearning to be free. They're coming here making demands about entitlements, about decisions, about citizenship. That's what they're yearning for. They're yearning for something free. We cannot support this number of people coming in. What are you going to do in each of these counties as they make these people legal, as they give them amnesty? Of course, it's not just the 5 to 11 million. It's the extended families that are connected with them that will be allowed to come in. Are you going to be able in your county to build 2 new schools immediately tomorrow? Because that's about when this is going to happen. They're going to do this at the end of the summer, just in time for school to start. It's not just who the immigrants are, trying to portray them all as children that the media is lying about. They're also lying about the people who are protesting this amnesty that Obama is putting out there. Now, on the Alex Jones Show today, we had William Gein from ALIPAC.us, and he pointed out that at a rally in Boston, the media reported that there were only a few hundred there. But as you can see from this article on Infowars.com, tweets pushing back against that narrative show that there are anywhere between 4 and 10,000 participants in this. Now, the people who organized this, and one of the chief organizers was Jeff Kooner, the host of WRKO's Kooner Report, put the number at 10,000, and he said this. He said, these are not children. When you say a child, the implication is 4, 5, 6 years old. He says, these are teenagers. Many of them are gangbangers. If you're 15, you're not a child. And that's right. If you can make that journey truly unaccompanied, you're not a child. And of course, the lie that we're hearing from George Will, from MSNBC, even implied from Glenn Beck, is that the people coming across are young children with teddy bears. Now, as you can see from the pictures here, it's far more than the, quote, hundreds of people that the CBS reporter initially tweeted about. Later, she corrected that and says, oh, maybe it's about 1,000. No, it was far more than that. Here's Alex Jones with William Gein from the show earlier today.
We believe that there's a new movement rising rapidly in America that's beyond the Minutemen, beyond the Tea Party. And it seems to be involving a lot of different groups and other types, different types of Americans that weren't working together before, combined with people who are starting to abandon Obama and the Democrats, including blacks, Hispanics, white liberals in cities. Everyone's waking up to Obama as he tries to run across the field with this. So we have a movement that's building. This past Saturday, July 26th, truly historic date, Boston, Massachusetts, over 5,000 American patriots gathered in Boston following a radio show host named Jeff Cooner who did one of these protests. But, of course, the Boston Globe takes little bitty up-close pictures of the crowd, claims that only hundreds were there, and is a disinformation campaign worthy of a psychological operation conducted by a military against another nation. They pumped this out on social media saying, look, Boston. And we were excited because, hey, you know, a couple hundred people, that was great. About an hour and a half later, this past Saturday night, the pictures start coming in. There are clearly thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in a liberal bastion like Boston that are chanting, send them back, send them back in USA.
Stay with us right after the break. We have Joe Biggs at the Arizona border with ranchers on the front line. And the elephant in the room, if they're fleeing violence, if they're really refugees from Central America, what is the cause of that violence? We're going to talk to Jim Gearock with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Stay with us.
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here, an electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the survival silver solution, the new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family. And it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water for your preparedness storage or your home kitchen. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
I'm Joe Biggs with Infowars.com, and we're getting ready to talk to two of the local ranchers right out here in Hereford, Arizona. Sir, go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Fred Davis.
John Ladd.
And how long have you had property out here?
Oh, all my life. My great-granddads came to Arizona in 1867 and 1880.
You, sir?
My great-grandparents came in 1894.
So tell me what you've seen out here over the past 20 years along the border, the things that have been going on. Earlier we spoke, and one of the things you'd mentioned, how you'd seen the gates being cut open and smugglers driving through. Tell me about that.
Well, they're cutting the, we have three different kinds of wall, but 14, 10, and 13 feet mesh, I-beam, steel, vehicle barrier. And they're using chop saws and portable grinders to cut the mesh and the I-beams and driving full-size trucks through the border to the highway full of marijuana. We've had 46 trucks in the last 2 years and 7 months now, but 46, and one of them was caught because the airbag went off and it was disabled, but 45 of them got away.
It goes clear back to when we had the hordes of people, and you've got mountains of trash. You find trash with everything you can imagine. We found backpacks with Qurans. Another fellow found a backpack with a prayer rug in it. You find hypodermic needles. You find pregnancy tests. You find everything in the world in this trash. They kick our gates open, tear our fences down, ruin our breeding programs. The hordes that have come through here are unbelievable. They have caught over 500,000 on John's Ranch.
Well, the Department of Human Smuggling, Department of Homeland Security, says that there's a fence up and that our borders are secure. What do you have to say about that?
You've been down to the border. You see where on the San Pedro River, there's nothing but a four-wire barbed wire fence. Then you have multiple floodgates that are open, and they tie up a piece of wire that anyone could get through with a vehicle or on foot or however they chose to come through. It's a national security issue. We had a friend that 13 East Indians linked arms and stopped her in the road the other day, and she was lucky. They were very benign. They just wanted to be turned into the Border Patrol. Another friend had 10 Chinese in his yard. There's Arabs coming. The Border Patrol said at one point 3 out of 10 that they apprehended was OTMs other than Mexicans. There's all kinds of people. This is a national security issue.
Everything that you're getting on the media is a lie. We live this every day, 24 hours. And it is not secure. When we got the wall built on our ranch, it is known as a force multiplier. And immediately they deployed agents that used to patrol the border before the 10, 12, 14-foot wall. You have 18-foot wall on this side. They took agents off the border because it's a force multiplier. And they're 25 miles north on the freeway. And everything that's happened is deliberate to let this border be wide open. They come through Fred and I daily, but then they live with the people on the interior of the country. And the impact it makes on their society, the school systems, the welfare systems, the hospital systems, that's part of the reason this country's broke, is there's so many people living here that don't pay into the system. And our government has not conveyed any of the truths of what's really happened in this country with people coming in illegally.
We've been screaming for 20 years. We've been overrun for 20 years, and nobody has listened. They thought it was our problem. Nobody is. The rest of the country, if they do hear us, think it's not affecting us. But as John said, they're running through us to come live with you. And now you're going to deal with the problems. These kids that just came out of Texas, wait till school starts in late August and the diseases run rampant. Why is Center for Disease Control so completely silent on all this issue? I mean, there's, 18 Border Patrolman home with bacteriological pneumonia now, and the TB is rampant. The diseases these people are bringing in and the drain on our systems are going to be phenomenal. The infrastructure of America cannot handle this influx.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered with a ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
It has processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
Joining us tonight is Jim Gearock with LEAP. That's Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. This is an organization of former law enforcement and prosecutors, and Jim was a prosecutor in Cook County, and that's in Chicago. He saw some of the worst of drug prohibition. As a matter of fact, he went from someone who believed in the war on drugs to someone who saw the adverse consequences in terms of corruption and violence and futility. Of course, it hasn't helped anyone to get off of drugs. All it has done is destroyed this country. So tonight we want to talk to him about what's going on both in Chicago with renewed violence there, as well as what no one is talking about, and that is the source of the violence in Central and South America that people are fleeing as they're coming to this country. Thanks for joining us, Jim. And I want to ask you, we hear so much about refugees coming into this country because they're fleeing violence in Central and South America, yet nobody is talking about the elephant in the room, and that is, why are MS-13 and Zeta drug gangs, why are they so powerful in those countries? I wanted you to give us your perspective on it as someone who's worked on this for decades in Chicago.
Well, it's hard for people in governmental power and in the news media to call for the legalization of drugs. Everyone knows that the war on drugs doesn't work, but it's a big jump to go from there to say that we need to abandon prohibition, the Al Capone paradigm, and put in place control and regulation of drugs through a system of legalization. Throughout the world, we are all saddled by the same prohibition laws because the United Nations has a treaty that requires that we prohibit all recreational drugs. And the enemy really is this beast right here. This is the 1961 Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs that requires every drug from heroin to marijuana to be outlawed and to provide criminal penalties and the deprivation of liberty for anyone who violates those treaties. So not just in the United States, not just in Chicago, the home of Al Capone, where violence is epidemic, but in Central America, Honduras, where the murder rate is 90 per 100,000 compared to Chicago, where it's 18 per 100,000. So the Central American states, the violence is horrendously worse than it is here in Chicago, even though I think it's epidemic. Over the July 4th weekend, we had 82 people shot in 84 hours.
There was an uptick in the violence there and the shootings. You said before when you've been on the show that 80% of the shootings in Chicago were related to drug gang competition, fighting it out for turf wars.
Sure.
Do you think that this recent uptick has anything to do with maybe new Central and South American gangs coming in and starting up a new level of turf war? Because it had dropped to about half of what it was back in the 90s. And so all of a sudden it's had this tremendous increase.
Well, you know, it's summertime, and we started out with a cold, rainy Midwest weather, and kids aren't out playing. They're not out having contact. I really think, you know, the fluctuations are unpredictable. But the only thing that is predictable for sure is that if you have prohibition in place, you're going to have gang violence. Chicago, we have 200,000 gang members. And so there's talk, well, are these Central American gangs coming to the U.S.? Well, certainly they are. They're already here. But we in Chicago alone with 200,000 gang members, we have every gang there is covered. And they're fighting over who's going to control the sale and distribution of narcotics. And the reason that they gravitate to that is because when you put prohibition in place, you make something that grows on a plant the most valuable commodity on the face of the earth. So that it causes the very thing that we're trying to prevent. Not just do we have more drugs, which we seize by the ton, evidencing how poor the drug policy worked, but the epidemic violence, the gun problem. So you mentioned that the powers that be aren't discussing the real cause. Well, it's easier to talk about guns. People get shot with guns, so let's ban guns. Let's restrict guns. I'm in favor of gun control that's reasonable and closing some of the loopholes that exist. But without changing the paradigm of prohibition, this Al Capone violence will continue unstoppable no matter what programs we put in place.
Yeah, we've seen that gun gun control doesn't really work because gun prohibition isn't going to work any better than drug prohibition. But going back to Central and South America, I think what we see there is in a poor country, we see the effects happen much more quickly. Just like if we're going to test a drug, we give it to animals that have a faster metabolism. We can see the effects of that drug more quickly in those animals than we can in humans because of a shorter lifespan. I think when we interject prohibition, we see the end game happening much more quickly in these Central and South American countries where these gangs have totally corrupted the government there. They have gotten into this kind of level of violence that we haven't seen yet in America. They've diversified into kidnapping, into human trafficking, into all these different areas. But it all started because they were given a monopoly on drugs, drug sales. And of course, we also were pulling that in with into America in terms of demand. That's where we're headed. Even if we were to keep out all of these Central American gangs, our country is still going to fall into that, it seems to me, if we don't stop prohibition, if we allow this to continue on through its usual lifespan.
You know, there are two elements that come into play. One is the economics of prohibition, where people want something, you outlaw it, and now the price goes astronomically high. Generally, they say there's a 5,000% markup in the price of drugs. But if you take that and you couple it with the human nature, which includes, unfortunately, greed, and then you take these substances that we're outlawing, that many of them, have an addictive quality, and you put those things together, it's a Molotov cocktail against the public health, safety, and welfare. And as I think here in just the few minutes that we have together, the single most important thing that we can do to stop this violence worldwide is to amend these United Nations drug prohibition treaties. And I've drafted an amendment that does that. Yeah. You can find it at leap.cc. And on the first page of leap.cc, there's a link to these proposed treaty amendments that would eliminate the prohibition model, that would put in a health, human rights, and harm reduction type drug policy. It would reinvest the nations of the world with the power and the authority to put in place their own drug rules, not because one size fits all dictated by the United Nations, but because local officials are better able to put reasonable programs in place for the problems in that particular country.
That's the point that the New York Times just made in their editorial over the weekend. It's just yesterday. They came out, the New York Times editorial board said, repeal prohibition again. And they drew parallels to alcohol prohibition, of course. Now, they did not draw parallels to the prohibition problems that we see in Central and South America. But they pointed out that we're seeing this grassroots movement coming up from the states, and yet at the top we see the federal government that is still persecuting people. We've seen many cases in the Midwest where they have medical marijuana. People have been following the state law, and yet the federal government will swoop in, shut down their operation, throw these people in jail for incredibly long period of times because they have these federal mandatory minimum sentences. And yet you're pointing out that even if we change it at the federal level, there's still going to be pressure from the UN, but what mechanism do they have at the UN to enforce that if we were to stop the federal troops from coming in, the DEA from going in and overriding state laws?
Well, the United Nations send out emissaries from the United Nations Office of Drugs and Crime and the International Narcotics Control Board when the state of Washington and Colorado legalized marijuana.
I remember that.
Yeah. They also dispatched emissaries to try and undo what was being done in Uruguay, the first country in the world to defy these silly United Nations prohibition treaties. Well, they're not silly because they're deadly. Mm-hmm. They're killing people around the world. They're putting more drugs everywhere. The drug prohibition works so well that this last year in Vienna, at the Commission on Narcotic Drugs at the UN in Vienna, they reported that there were 100 new drugs created synthetically this last year in order to avoid the penalties contained in these prohibition-mandated treaties, and then the nations of the world passing these prohibition. If the drug didn't exist, you can't have outlawed it because it's new. And each year, it's accelerating the number of new synthetic drugs being created, faster than they can add them to the UN prohibition lists.
Yeah, we didn't have this problem until they had prohibition. That's the same thing we saw during alcohol prohibition. We saw new and virulent strains of alcohol because that suited the black market. But in the, we've only got about a minute left, Jim. Sure. In that minute, give us a take on your impression of what's happened in Colorado, Washington. Has that been a success or failure?
In Colorado, they're anticipating $122 million in taxes that will be coming in by virtue of these sales. Instead of criminalizing people who are doing what's been done for eons, they're recognizing that it's better to control and regulate. The result is crime is down. Fewer juveniles being arrested. Everything you could hope for to come from a better drug policy is what's happening in Colorado. Washington is following shortly behind, and I'm sure that the success there will be equally as positive as in Colorado.
Well, that's good news. We see people on both the left and the right understanding what the problem is. We see Rand Paul going around talking to the NAACP because, of course, this has disproportionately fallen on the black community in terms of incarceration rates, in terms of the punishments inflicted. You can very, very easily show that they get a disproportionate amount of the penalties from this.
The racial discrimination implicit in drug prohibition is epidemic and evident everywhere, as evidenced best maybe by Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow.
Thank you very much for joining us, Jim Gearock with LEAP. .cc, that's the website, and you can see that UN proposed amendment that Jim told us about that's there. Support that operation and support our operation. Your subscription to Prison Planet TV can be shared with up to 11 other people at the same time. Of course, it keeps you abreast of the news, and it lets you share all of Alex Jones's documentaries with your friends, with your family, to keep them informed and to keep yourself informed. We're here every weekday night, 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll see you tomorrow night.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.